With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. I'm recording from my computer because I'm not at home with my microphone. Joining me is Rob Langevin, who's talking to you through illness and all. These are the lengths that we go through to make sure you get good fantasy Premier League content. Rob, A, hope you're feeling better. B, breaking... See, there you go. You must already be feeling better because you were like mute yesterday. So things definitely.
I can't even talk. I still can't even talk, and I apologize to everybody at home. But you know, the dedication that I have in my heart for all our valuable listeners is just too divine a wish for me to negate in this whole high holy season. Yep. So on the eve of the new year, I am here talking to you about game week 21.
Woo! And we're all super excited about it. As Rob said, he's playing hurt through this. You know, at this point of the season, nobody's without injuries. Our podcast, obviously, the same. We'll lead in with what was the big breaking news today, which was not that Raheem Sterling started again, although that was nice. It is that Virgil van Dijk moving to Liverpool has been confirmed. That'll take place January 1. Interested to get your thoughts on him as a fantasy option and then the impact at both Southampton and Liverpool of such a good center back moving clubs here in the January window.
Well, I mean, first off, this is fantasy, so the first thing that people are going to look at is his price. His price is 5.4 currently. The funny thing is, as soon as the news break, within the first 30 minutes, I think he was transferred in 17,000 times.
Wow.
And he's gonna miss this game week. So first thing is price. It's 5.4. Liverpool are the top defensive team at home right now. So you have to look into that and say, makes me interested, because when you can start comparing him to everybody who's a useful option on Liverpool, you know, Ragnar Klavan, 4.4, Dejan Lovren, 5.3, the rotation of Gomez and TAA, 4.7 and 4.2, Andrew Robertson at 4.6, Nathaniel Klein coming back eventually at 5.3, and then you slot Virgil van Dijk in there at 5.4, and he doesn't really offer you enough of an offensive potential to be like, okay, he's the second coming of Alonso for Liverpool. But the way that Liverpool play offense, if you anybody saw the matchup today in the first half for City, that's why City defenders are so good right now. They don't really have to play defense. Like, their offense basically plays the defense for them. Yeah. And Liverpool's style of play right now is he's basically just going to sit at home, do his thing, and you're probably going to get returns equal or above maybe what Nicolas Otamendi is doing for City. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that's the potential that I can see, because I think they play the same valuable role in the build-up on set pieces in the box. They are a big figure. They know how to get their head on the ball. But the only problem is 5.4 price that people are going to commit to on a Liverpool team that likes to concede goals on the road and, like I said, are the number one defensive team at home right now in the EPL. So, I mean, after January 1st, when you know you look at your team and people are trying to start a transfer him in, because he is a popular name, yeah. 75 million pounds is makes anybody jump up and take notice. You know, it's been on the news today in the States, and it was on CNN. So
really?
Obviously it's a big deal.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw it scrolling on the bottom of CNN. So I mean, Virgil van Dijk is a name that everybody knows. Now on the counter to that, what does it do to Southampton? It basically opens up spots for guys that are on the cheap. But you know what? We've already been seeing those guys because Virgil van Dijk's been hanging his head in the sand and not really knowing what's up. You have Jack Stevens there. You know, you saw McQueen this weekend. And I think the best guy to probably that benefits the most from this is Wesley Hoyt at 5.0. I know its price is expensive for trying to commit, to a Southampton defender, because Southampton's been god-awful defensively, and they're not trustworthy and loyal or friendly. They're not anything of the Boy Scout creed that you want. But, yeah, I'm interested to see how Southampton comes out now that the VVD news is finally off their plate, and now they can move on without having, you know, to pay his wages, have him sulk in the news, and basically end up where he wanted to go all along, but just, you know, 4 months later.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one with Van Dijk potentially moving. I agree with you. Just something I feel like just sprinkling on here. Van Dijk's best season, he had 130 points. Alonso is on 110 at the halfway point of the season. So even though he's a big name, I think he's amazing in Toga. I think he's a really good option in draft formats and potentially in DFS.
In this one,
I mean, you hit the nail on the head with Liverpool. The home defense is good. That's where the clean sheets are coming. So if you're willing to find a good rotation where you can play him at home and not away, go for it. But I agree with you. I think especially the people that are transferring him in too early are expecting a little too much from the Dutch defender. Another big takeaway from this weekend is that Tottenham ran roughshod again. Harry Kane, two hat-tricks in two consecutive matches. We'll start specifically with Kane and then expand to Tottenham on the whole. But are you buying into these performances? And if you don't own them, are you buying in now? Or do you think this is one of those where you don't want to chase the tail of the dragon and that the big week's already happened and it'll calm down from here?
Well, I mean, with Spurs and West Ham blanking this game week, you're not really chasing the dragon on anything here. You know, Arnautovic, we could throw Marco Arnautovic's name into this conversation because he did score two, and Harry Kane had back-to-back triples, and they're both blanking next week, and then they have a double game week fixture in 22. Listen, if you're a Harry Kane owner, you're not going to transfer him out, because the fear that is if you transfer him back out, he may go back up in price, you may lose a penny. You know, you're going to be sitting a 12.9 player on your bench because he blanks. You know, it brings up interesting questions that I was going to bounce back to you, Kev. How many players from West Ham and Spurs would you be comfortable with? Like, say, if you have a free transfer that you're sitting on right now, how many Hammer or Spurs players would you be comfortable with rostering this week out of your 15?
Interesting. Well, I currently have two. I don't know if you remember the week when I was riding really high on Adrian. I actually did end up bringing him in. So I have him and Harry Kane in the team at the moment. I'm fine with those two, obviously just benching them then to reap the reward. I don't know if you could get away with three, to be honest. I'm sure they're like Masuaku owners out there or somebody like that. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it'd be hard. I feel like you could technically get away with three, couldn't get away with more than that.
Well, the way that the schedule is, you know, there's still a game to be played, if you're listening to this right now, it's probably out, and Arsenal Crystal Palace are warming up. but it's funny, when the Arsenal Crystal Palace game is over, you look at the turnaround times for some teams. Three teams have 72 hours or less than 72 hours of turnaround time with the three games on Saturday, and then everybody else, you know, I mean, sorry, the seven games on Saturday, and then the two fixtures on Sunday. So there's a couple teams that have, you know, a little bit extra resting time, City and Arsenal being the two, and Palace. So, I mean, with a truncated schedule and everybody shoving 5 pounds of schedule into a 10-pound sack, it's interesting. I mean, everybody's going to be setting themselves up for double game week 22. I mean, that's basically what everybody's eyes are on right now. They're probably not going to make a change this week unless they really, really have to. I think this is going to be a very down week for people rotated and sitting-wise. I'm staring at my team and looking forward to game week 22, but I'm worried about what my returns are going to be in 21 because I don't own Harry Kane. My whole thing was I never owned Harry Kane for the doubles, and that's probably why I'm just plummeting down the standings right now. But in game week 22, Harry Kane is going to be the most owned player in the FPL universe. He's going to overtake Salah, and he's probably going to stay that way until, you know, future double game week fixtures get figured out, because Kane is showing what did we do 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when we did that podcast, when I said, listen, nobody likes rostering the most expensive player, but you know what, when you want to paint your house, you can't just stand there and watch it dry. He's going to give you returns, and the paint is going to look fine. So he's definitely worth the juice, the squeeze of the juice. He's going to be 13, by the time game week 22 rolls around.
Yeah, and it is so crazy. I mean, 2 years ago, we were talking about how impressive it was that Lukaku got 18 goals. A year before that, Charlie Austin getting 17 made him an FPL darling. Harry Kane is on 18 goals through just 20 matches. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous what he's doing thus far. Like, 2 weeks ago, we talked about would Kane, you know, maybe beat out Salah for that golden boot, and now all of a sudden, 6 goals in just 2 matches later, and looking like it would be quite the task for anybody to catch up with Sir Harold Kane. Quick question for you. Pascal Gross? What do people do? Because he's everybody's low budget. Well, not everybody, but he's a lot of people's low budget guy. Should people try to climb up? Should they try to punt down to somebody like Loftus-Cheek? What should people do with Pascal Gross?
Well, I mean, now's the time that people are going to start looking at the dead weight on their roster. Is there better viable options at the 5.9 price tag that Gross is? You know, he's basically has one tally in his last 10 fixtures. Brighton scores just under 1 goal per match in their last 12. It's not good. This is the caveat with owning players of value on, you know, non-frequent scoring teams. Yes, the value is there because he's probably going to be grabbing all the, you know, all the goods. He's probably, you know, he likes to steal. He's a klepto for fantasy, basically, for Brighton. But he just doesn't give you enough consistency. You know, at 5.9 in the midfield range, there's tons of guys there that you can roster. You know, Shaqiri is only 6.1. I know Stoke is probably basically on the same one, but the one guy that stands out right now, and I wanted to bring this up with you, but I'm just gonna tangent into another question here for you. What we've seen from Jesse Lingard at 6.1 is in that price range for Pascal Gross. I think what we saw from United was the first and only time we're going to see Ibra and Lukaku on the pitch at the same time in the positions that they were. When Lingard came on the pitch, it was a completely different offense. He's playing in front of Pogba. Pogba's a little bit more freer. He's trying to be a little playmaker. But Lingard adds that speed element that is different than Rashford and different than Martial, because I think he's better coming down the center, whereas Rashford and Martial are better on the wings. This is a strange question, Kevin. Who's the most ownable Man United player right now? Is it Lingard or is it Ashley Young?
That's a great shout. I mean, I was actually going to talk to you here next about how Manchester United have failed to keep a clean sheet in their last 3 matches, and what used to look like a lock now looks like a question mark. Man, Mata has been starting a lot of matches, but do you really want to own him? I feel like it's Pogba or Lingard, and the only reason I'm confident in Pogba is just because he's got the captain's band, so you got to figure that he's going to be played in any match he's available, which is more than you can say for a lot of these guys. I mean, Lingard, as you said, has been absolutely beasting lately, and the only thing that would keep him out would be a change of formation, because Mkhitaryan has clearly lost the job to him. The only thing that would change is if the formation changed and then Lingard lost his spot to one of Lukaku or Ibra. And as you said, it does not look like Jose will be trying that again anytime soon. So I love Lingard at the cost. I think he's a great fifth guy. You can like roll him out every week. Maybe he starts, maybe he doesn't. But I think he's a great, a great upgrade from Gross, because even though he won't be playing every match, even though he isn't the focal point the way Gross is for Brighton, even if he just got a tally in every 3, as you said, that's 33%+ better than, 66% better than what Gross is doing. So, I think Gross up to Lingard is a great shout. And, I think formally we can say Lingard is ownable now. He's getting the minutes, and even when he's not even coming on as a sub, he's doing enough that at his price he's worth owning.
I think he's the guy that is the poster child for your first sub for midfielders. I think because you can't really count on him if he starts, and if he does start, you probably have a better playable option if they don't start because they're rotated out. Lingard will pop back in there and give you decent returns. And the funny thing about Ashley Young is he's a whole dollar cheaper than Lingard, and only scored 9 less points than Lingard to date, and has played almost 250 less minutes.
Yeah, and I think people are just off on Young because of his positional classification, which is lame. But
yeah, oh, it's an OOP thing.
But it's the
opposite OOP thing.
Right,
it's the Eric Dyer.
The thing. Opposite OOP, so OOOP.
OP OOP
OOP.
Dyslexic.
Word. Can you trust United's defense right now?
I wouldn't. Yeah. If you're a multiple investor, I mean, you know, I think if people are trying to look for money in, you know, in small places, I think that the time to own De Gea is come and gone. I think the only defender that's ownable is still Phil Jones, because it's still a little bit of a value there at five, at whatever he is, you bought him at. But De Gea's price is not where you want right now. United's upcoming fixtures are up and I believe they're up and down a little bit. Southampton, Everton, Stoke, Burnley, Spurs in their next five. And Everton has been playing very, very well, and they struggled with Stoke the last time they played them. So, and Burnley's no joke either. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting stretch right here until the end of January. And then United's got to start thinking about Champions League again in February when it starts picking back up. And their schedule actually gets a little worse because they do have Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, and Man City still play in that set.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a time to own United players, which is why I said I think the most ownable player right now for United is either Ashley Young or Jesse Lingard. There's just it's all a value play for United because consistently their best defender is Romelu Lukaku. Because he just doesn't score for them. But yeah, I'm way off United right now. Way, way off.
Yeah, it's very reasonable considering what we've seen from them in recent weeks. Would you be up for a quick game of either ors?
We could do some. I could think of one after you give me one.
All right. Yeah.
Just well, quick like that on the fly.
Well, I'll just kind of carry in from that conversation we were having. Would you rather have Phil Jones or Andreas Christensen, who was a surprise illness scratch at the weekend?
I'd probably go with Christensen, only because you know what you're getting with Christensen. Phil Jones is just lying in the weeds somewhere with the United inconsistency right now. You saw Christensen miss the weekend, and I think he would have missed anyway. I think it was a Cahill game to play and slide him back in there with Rudiger on the other side. That's usually what happens when they do play. When Cahill plays the center, Rudiger plays the wide side, and then when Christensen plays, Cahill plays the opposite side. So I think it was more of a get Rudiger into the situation as well. But I like Christensen. I think Chelsea is starting to be more defensive from what they are. I know he's not going to give you returns of the Azpilicuetas or the, you know, the Alonzos, but you know he's still not awful. He's still averaging over 4 points per game over the last four, you know, 6-8-6, and then he blanked over the last four. So I mean that's decent enough return for the cheapest entry point into the Chelsea defense.
Yeah. Next up,
I'll jump into mine.
Oh yeah, yeah.
My voice is wavering, Kevin. It's wavering. I'm liking what I've seen from Everton recently, especially from their defense, and basically every one of their defenders is under 5.5. Mm-hmm. So basically, you could just invest your money completely in there. So are you more of a believer in the cheapies of Mason Holgate and Jonjo Kenny, or would you think there's a better return of Michael Keane or maybe an Ashley Williams?
This one's easy because I brought in Kenny 2 weeks ago, which has been pretty good. I think it's a assist and a clean sheet since I brought him in, if memory serves. Assist and two clean sheets since I brought him. So that's gone very, very well. I'd obviously go Jonjo Kenny for now. I mean, the only thing that'll displace him is Seamus Coleman when he comes back. And unlike Bolasie, who we were like constantly getting updates on, I feel like we just haven't heard about Coleman in a really long time. Obviously, recovering from that horrendous double leg break. I think Kenny for now is a great option. Yeah. I think Sam did what we always thought he would do, which is clean things up at the back and then kind of sort the rest out. I'm all aboard the Jonjo Kenny train. What about you?
I love Jonjo Kenny at his price, 4.5. I think he's there to stay for a while. I think the reinsertion of Yannick Bolasie into the Everton lineup is going to help that defense a ton because I think he stretches the pitch on the one side and it gives the defense the break that they need. They don't have that stretching, you know, that stretching player. And the funny thing is they're stretching the player when they were all healthy is Seamus Coleman because he brings that wide side play. But yeah, big ups to Yannick Bolasie, good friend of the show, or a frequent mentioner on the show. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, really, really cool that he's been getting in as much as he has. Coming back to you, at 9.3, two of the best playmakers in the Premier League, despite you know form sometimes playing against them, would you rather have Mesut Ozil or Christian Eriksen?
Ooh, I mean, I'd rather have Eriksen for game week 22.
Yeah. And you'd rather have Ozil for 21.
I'm not a Mesut Ozil fan. Yeah. I'm not a Mezidolso fan. I don't like what he does on the pitch. Yes, he has games where he's just looks like a firecracker and is just dynamite. But there's games where he just disappears completely. I don't know whether that's because he pouts or he's just not into the game flow or Arsenal just suck at getting him involved or what. But I'm just not – I'd rather own Christian Eriksen 2 days every day of the week rather than Mezidolso right now.
Fair enough.
It's not even close.
All right.
So for the double game week, I know everybody's thinking about West Ham.
Yeah.
West Ham. You're setting yourself up for West Ham. Mm-hmm. Are you believing that Arnautovic is on a good pace here and on a good goal scoring thing, and you think it stays, or are you trusting somebody who's more of the facilitator and playmaker in Lanzini?
I think you got to go Arnautovic. I mean, 5 goals in 5 is pretty dang impressive, and he's been starting up front over the likes of Chicharito. Carroll has obviously been in and out at times throughout the season. So, yeah, I'd take Arnautovic over pretty much anybody at West Ham right now. I think even if he gets pushed out wide, because Chicharito did get the assist, maybe he'll be given a shot again here under just completely banked. Under Moyes, which he hasn't really gotten yet, although there was some injury stuff involved. but I think Arnautovic, regardless of where he is on the pitch, he's finally finding that groove. And we were waiting to see this ever since he came to West Ham. In theory, he was a really good fit, just wasn't working out. So, yeah, I'm willing to buy on Arnautovic. I'm not expecting an average of a goal per game from him, but I think he's a really interesting option, and at his price, I think he's really tempting. I do like Lanzini as a player. I just think he's better in other formats.
Yeah, oh, completely better in a draft-style play Taga, maybe even a DFS, because he does take more pieces that get him involved with touches. Arnautovic is more of a goals guy, where Lanzini is a quantity of touch guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, would you rather have him or Richarlison, who finally did something this week?
Who Arnautovic or Charleston or Lanzini?
Arnautovic or Richarlison.
You're breaking up. All right, cool. Yeah, I'd probably go with Arnautovic, only because I'm looking ahead to the schedule better. You know, the double game week is too tempting that you don't want to have Arnautovic in there. I think that the two games, the blank plus the double game week, is more beneficial than just having Richarlison in your midfield.
Makes sense. Anything else you want to discuss before we take it to the break?
No, I think we're good. I'm gonna get my voice back, maybe, hopefully.
All right.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
All right, and we are back. We're going to run through our starts and sits real quickly here, hopefully in time for Rob to rest his voice and not be in too much pain. For my forward that I'm starting this week, I'm going to go with Alvaro Morata. He's up against Stoke. The last time he faced them, he notched a hat trick, and Stoke have not kept a clean sheet in their last 10 matches. And also, I just kind of need this one to come true. So I'm leaning pretty heavy on Morata this week after recent failures. Did get on the score sheet this weekend, and I'm hoping that projects to bigger and better things. In midfield, well, Rob, you know how a lot of times I kind of get blamed for going with chalk picks? People are like, oh, that's not really like that great a call. How about Chris Brunt? Now, you and I have talked a little bit about West Brom. Since they brought in Pardew, and it hasn't really gone to script thus far. But Chris Brunt has quietly snuck into the top 5 in both chances created and accurate crosses over the last 5 matches. He's at 5-1 price, 0.5% owned. I mean, if you're looking for a budget differential guy, I mean, this is your guy. We're not doing the DFS show anymore, so if you're interested in DFS, this is a very interesting DFS shout. Whether you want to just bring him in for 1 week here. I mean, if you want to downgrade from Gross, this is a guy that's going to play. I don't really trust Arsenal's defense. We're recording before their match this week, so we might have seen something since. But as we're recording, the last defensive match we saw from them was against Liverpool, where they let in three.
Didn't look so hot.
Yeah, exactly. So not feeling too worried about that Arsenal defense. So usually I go chalk, but going real deep cut this week with Chris Brunt, who, again, top five in chances created and accurate crosses over the last five matches. In defense, it's your big boys. Chelsea, Liverpool, United, you love them all. As you mentioned, Liverpool, best home defense in the league. I like the matchups for both Chelsea and United. Hopefully they can keep things clean here. Rob, who you got?
On to my starts, hits. I'll start at the back. I'm basically mentioning everybody I talked about in the show because I kind of have an instant love affair with these two guys. Jonjo Kenny, 5.7% owned, 4.5 price. He's probably going to go up again before the weekend fixture, so if you can get him now. He's got three cleans in his last four, five in his last seven. Everton seem to be gelling as a unit. That is important. If anybody's listened to these podcasts multiple times, I say that a lot, and it happens a lot, because when they start playing as a team better, the results happen. 5 and 7 is not a coincidence. My midfield, I'm loving Jesse Lingard at 6.1. I think that he's the differential through the middle, that Mata, that Martial, that Rashford, basically what Josie was looking for from everyone else, and he's basically giving it to you at a discount. He's returning 8.6 points per game in those last four. That's the highest scoring midfielder during that time. That's more than Salah, and that's more than Raheem Sterling. And he didn't even start one game, so there's that. Am I forward? Anybody not named Harry Kane? Morata's a great shout by Kevin. He did mention he got a hat trick last time, so, I mean, that's good stuff. Bobby Digital is on point right now. He's completely informed Liverpool's going to score boatloads of goals because that's what they do. On to my sit. Romelu Lukaku is my sit. I'm sorry. Anybody who owns him, 30.5% still own him, 11.4 price tag. If you still own him by New Year's, and I'm Xing you off the Christmas card list for next year, when you start hearing bad news about Lukaku and his style of play and how he's basically a drag on the United system. Basically, Lindor came in and was running circles around everybody who was up front and was always in the right place where Lukaku should be, but he wasn't. So Lukaku, 30% owned, no thank you. Through the midfield, I didn't write this before, and Kevin brought it up. My midfield sit is Pascal Gross. It's why I had all those comfy stats in front of me. Owned in 80% of leagues. 5.9 price tag, has one return in his last 11 games. That's not good. Brighton doesn't score enough for me at all. Downshift to somebody else, like that's a differential. Ashley Young still got some meat on the bone, and if you want to jump on the Lingard bandwagon, fine, do it. He looks like Squidward. You could be a SpongeBob fan. on this, my defense is Leicester defense. Harry Maguire, 5.3. He's the most owned defender there, 10.5. If Leicester's kept somebody clean sheeted in the last 10 games, I missed it because I just wasn't paying attention. Their defense is just blah, and they usually always end up conceding. I know they probably have a clean sheet in there. I'm just completely joking. I'm just being lazy. But Leicester this week is going to get some goals put up against them because who are they playing? Liverpool at home. And Liverpool are just going to blank them. So sit Leicester. Sit Crystal Palace, sit West Brom, you know, sit Lev, sit Stoke. You're not owning any of those other teams, but just in case you are, just this is a little sense of reality.
Yeah. No, I like it. For me, my sit is pretty obvious. We mentioned it earlier, but worth noting, Harry Kane will not be playing this week. As you said, it's just really important that people are aware of that because we did get some tweets about people missing the Friday deadline last weekend. And so, you know, I think a lot of times we're talking to really high-end concepts and players and stuff like that, and it can lead to just kind of ignoring small details like that can really mess with your week. So if for some reason you were just rolling Kane or you had the C on him, Lord forbid, just, you know, be very aware. Harry Kane not playing this week. In midfield, the player I'm sitting and selling is going to be Leroy Sané, who I have seen people say, oh, well, don't sell him now because he hasn't been benched two consecutive matches thus far this season. And that is true. That's a good statistic. But he's blanked in four out of the last five starts that he's gotten. Like, I'm obviously a little worried about rotation. But what he's doing on the pitch isn't good enough. And I feel like a lot of people are going to the playing time excuse when there are actual issues there. Why you would have him over Sterling or De Bruyne, who obviously is way more expensive. But I just don't know why you'd still be rolling Sané at this point. And this is the perfect time for you to just get out. Like, Rob, you know, I was on Fabregas for 3 weeks. He was benched 2 out of 3. And then I had to pull the trigger. Yep. Like, even though he might have started the next week, like, at a certain point, you just got to cut bait and move on to a player that you're more confident in.
Net loss.
Yeah.
Net loss is a net gain.
Yeah, exactly. And then the defense I don't like is Arsenal, which I mentioned. Of course, by the time this is out, Arsenal may have kept an impressive clean sheet here in the midweek. But and West Brom haven't been scoring a lot. But I just have this weird feeling, backed by that Brunt stat, Solomon Rondon has been playing better. Jay Rodriguez is back. To be fair, this is my ride or die week with West Brom. Like, I've been on them since Pardew came in. They have not done much. If I'm wrong this week, I'll probably bail on them. But I'm just not as worried about this Arsenal fixture as I bet a lot of people probably are. Jumping into our teams, for me, as I try to bring up the page on very, very slow internet, sorry again if that's caused any issues to you guys listening at home. I'm going to be playing Fabianski at the back since Adrian is on bye. Then Christensen, Jones, and Jonjo Kenny at the back. Then Sterling, Salah, Richarlison, Ozil, and currently Gross. That could be Lingard, but I'm also considering holding on to my free transfer so that I have a double for 22, even though I will already have Tottenham and West Ham cover. Just the option of maybe going Ozil to Eriksen or something like that is interesting. Then up front, I have Morata and Calvert-Lewin, who also, this is his last week for me. It's his make or break week.
Yeah.
If Calvert-Lewin does something, I'll hold on to him. If not, against a very poor Bournemouth defense, I'll probably look to move on. The bench, Adrian and Kane aren't playing. Ward might still be hurt. And Angel Ronhel is just the price dump. I'm thinking I'm going to put the C on Sterling and the V on Morata. What are you looking at, Rob?
I haven't made any moves yet. I have Fabianski in goal. I have a Watford, Burnley, and United defense right now. It's Cabasele, Ward, and Jones. I'm missing Masuaku because they blank. I'll use one transfer this week and probably shore up someone in my defense. I'm thinking of going all the way up to Alonso because I do have the money. I have almost $3 million in the bank. My midfield is Salah, Pogba, De Bruyne, Coutinho, Shaqiri. Shaqiri, he's basically just dead weight right now, but I've been flip-flopping him and Calvert-Lewin in there, so I may play Calvert-Lewin over him. My strikers are Morata and Firmino. I'd probably, right now, put the cap down on either Morata or Firmino. I like what I saw from De Bruyne today. It's just that at points in the game, he's playing so deep, and basically he just pops up, gets his shots, and you hope he basically gets 4 chances a game, and if he doesn't score on one of those 4, you're not getting a return. I know he gets assists. He got an assist today on Sterling's goal, but that's the only thing that's leery about me captaining De Bruyne. De Bruyne is a great fantasy player. He's probably somebody that you want. You know, so you can have 3 City players, 3 Liverpool players, and that'll make up 5, you know, 6 of your front 7 if you wanted to, and then just go cheap everywhere else. But yeah, I mean, that's my team. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I haven't really looked, like Kevin said at the beginning of the show. I've been under the weather. I'm just basically standing here in my own puddle of snot.
All right. Well, we don't want you to have to do that any longer. This is going to be a shorter one for us. So, Rob, we'll get out of here so you can get proper medical attention. Where can they find you in the interim?
If you're a physio, you can find me on Twitter at FPL_MNOP, or you can find my writings, stylings, and musings on Razzball.com.
Yeah, and I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries, at Kevroff on Twitter. You can find my writings over at gold.com. And also on this very channel, you can check out our EPL and championship shows, both of which can give you a little insight into fantasy stuff. The championship show, you can keep an eye on kind of the prospects for next season, like we had Gross and Moy last year. And then the Premier League show, obviously you can get insights from...
Or Tony Pulis.
There you go, with Middlesbrough, for whatever reason that happened. So anyway... Just keep an eye out on our Premier League, our championship, obviously this fantasy show here. And then, as Rob said, you can find me at Goal and him at Razzball. I'm at Kevruff on Twitter. The show is at EPL Roundtable. Rob, thanks so much for struggling through this one. I hope the folks at home enjoy it. Sorry again for any audio issues based on my end. But best of luck to your teams, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.